Never stop chasing your dreams.
And never say never.
So, okay. Welcome Kenzie Lee from Take Pride Barbershop in Portland. You guys are really, like I said, it's a very focused niche, and I love that you're so inclusive to trans men and, you know, butch lesbians. I was going through your Instagram page, mm-hmm. and I saw that one, and I don't remember how far back it was, but I saw that one to like really, really long hair, and then had this phenomenal butch cut at the end that was like fade with, I was like, oh my God, what?
Yeah, I mean,
a difference.
The world of hair is like unlimited, right? Much like our sexuality or our identity. There's no barriers, or there shouldn't be, you know what I mean? And that's what I love about hair is that people can be so creative and express themselves in such a like dynamic way, unlike any other, right? We think about hair and somebody gets a haircut, it changes completely the way they look.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. It's so impactful, you know, and like
100%.
That's what has kept me doing hair and why I'm so passionate behind it. I've been cutting for 20 years now, but you know, why I wanted to, you know, open a shop and all that. It's just like, I've never come across anything else in my life, to be honest. Sure, you can be a doctor and save lives, and that's
amazing. Right.
You know, like, there's obviously many other trades out there that are absolutely incredible, but there's something so special about hair because it just, the instant gratification,
right?
Like, we can sit down and just get a 30-minute haircut, hour haircut, whatever it may be, beard trim, and feel like a different person when you leave. That's so special.
It's utterly incredible because I know so many people who, like, their whole look has changed with a haircut.
You know?
And then slowly you start seeing a different personality come out, and it almost is like they found their true selves
through
this haircut, you know, and it's just amazing to see how it affects them, and the confidence it gives them is such
a special gift. It's so gratifying to do for people too. And I can't even imagine having a job where I'm not doing that every day. I'd be like bored. I'm like, I need people to be happy.
Right. I get why, you know, why it would make you feel good to see them embrace themselves and be thrilled with their haircut and know that it's going to change the way they move forward, you know?
For sure. And especially with transitioning for people, it's like, that's probably one of, you know, there's special moments in cutting hair, much like, you know, your longtime client's first baby's haircut, you know, child, you've been cutting their hair for 10 years. They have their first baby, you know, these people like better than most of your friends. Right.
Right.
That's a memorable moment. Right. But we have other things such as, you know, a young teen that, you know, maybe be transitioning into something else, whatever that may be. And that cut from like long hair to short hair for them is, I mean, they will never forget that moment in their entire life.
Right. How it made them feel.
That is a pivotal core memory, like having your child's first haircut or anything else like that. Like, so it's always just such a special moment to be a part of.
And the thing I
love, a person around seeing themselves for the first time and
as
shocking as it usually is, but then like just watching, it's like this flood of relief over their face. You know, finally.
Like, think about the moment that they find your shop.
Right.
And, you know, like, I can't imagine what it must be like, especially for someone who's transitioning, you know, to find a place where they are accepted and feel welcome, and they walk in there knowing that you guys understand where they're at, you
for
know.
Sure.
And I mean, that is such a rare thing, you know. And
it must
be like just eliminating a fear, you know.
Right.
It's not enough that they're gonna walk in there and you know, change their looks, but they found a place that understands why, that understands how important it is, that understands what what making someone feel comfortable.
Exactly.
That moment feels
and
like.
And you don't have to be going through a drastic change to just want to have a safe space after work to go chill. And the main reason why I ended up actually opening Take Pride Barbershop was because I had been in a salon environment doing mainly, you know, women, long hair, color. And then I transitioned after 6 years into my career. I was like, you know, I really want to get into barbering. I love the traditional like straight razor shaves and being able to kind of like, give that facial to people, letting them lay back and relax. And so I threw myself into a traditional barbershop, and I was basically trained by barbers above me to straight razor shave and stuff, which I think is always better than school anyways. You learn way more. But this was like the opposite of where I'd been in the salon, overly feminine environment.
Catty.
Just utter masculinity, working with 12 men. Being told I cut okay for a girl, being told we'll see if you can pull this one off, being told all these things, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, man, it made me tough. And you know, I don't regret any of that. Is it the best way to maybe introduce somebody into a new career? No.
No.
But, you know, I don't think that it was a wrong way. It was the way my life was at that time and the way the world was too. It was a little different because this was about 12 years ago or so. And so then when I opened, you know, I worked for a while and I opened Take Pride, I was like, why is every shop salon feminine, barbershop masculine?
Right.
Like, why? Right. And it's like, it's not just for, you know, trans or queer or any of that community. It's for also the cis straight male or woman that doesn't like that either. Like, you know, I am queer, you know, but I have many friends, you know, that are not queer and are just cis women that like, they're like, oh, I hate going to the salon. You know, I'm just, I don't feel like I fit in. Like, you don't have to be queer to just need a space that's just not overly one or the other. That was the whole thing for me.
It's like, all about making that person comfortable, I think, you know?
Yeah. And there needs to be a spot where everyone can just go. No matter, it does not matter what walk of life you are, how old you are, what color you are, what you identify as, any person that walks to that door will feel comfortable, take pride. And that was the main reason I opened it.
Exactly.
You know, I don't make a ton of money on it. Barbershops aren't a great investment, but I also provide a place for barbers to work for the first time that don't necessarily want that environment too. Barbers, they're, you know, their happiness is just as important too. So.
Oh yeah, it's like keeping your employees happy kind of thing, you know.
Exactly.
But your environment, like I was looking at the pictures of the place, and it's just the coolest kickback chill shop ever. You know, like little something for everyone, but I love the space itself. You know,
I
love the
place. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's really, really well done.
And you know, again, like I have our little I wanted to feel like a home away from home. For like anybody that maybe doesn't want to go home or maybe they, you know, this is the 45 minutes out of their day that they don't have five children hanging off of them or they're getting bothered by work 24/7. Like this is their 45 minutes where they can feel like they can just chill, relax, take a breath. We have free beverages and snacks with like a nice, you know, fake leather couch because I'm vegan.
It looks amazing.
I always made this living room environment with you know, got the TV on the you know wall, and always good music playing, vibing out. And it's like I could have put another station there, hired another barber, you know, taken that away. But that's not why I opened it. I will never take that away. And if I were to ever open another one, it will have the same thing. Because how many barbershops and stuff you go into, it's like there's like two chairs to sit on while you're waiting, you know?
Right.
And it's just, I want people to be comfortable and like chilling, like a place to hang out, you know?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like, you know, when you were younger and one person had that house where everybody hung at.
Yes, the cool mom.
Yes, that's
we'll
exactly
what smoke weed in the backyard.
That's the vibe I caught from it. And I'm like, who doesn't want to be in that environment, you know?
Right. But
again, I think it's about the feeling that you're creating before you even get there, you know?
Exactly.
You know, letting people know that you're all inclusive, you know, and like you said, giving them that time that they've carved out for their haircut to not have a boss walking in their ear or a family saying that, you know, this isn't what I thought for you, or, you know, like that kind of thing. They could just get there. And it's like, it's all about them, you know, and it's happening with someone who understands what they're going through, someone who's created this space exclusively for them. And it's got to just take all kinds of pressure off for that, you know, hour or whatever that they're there.
Yeah. Like, the barbers just soak it all.
Right. And
you know, we're taking on a lot of that energy, you know, and it's a lot of people don't realize that we are underpaid therapists.
Of course.
100%. And very neutral, you know, I'm not giving necessarily a ton of advice, but really all I'm there for is for somebody to listen, for me to listen to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 10 words to them and just let them talk. And like, that's what they needed that day, you know? Right. And then I have clients where, you know, they say two words. If I try to start a little convo, vibe them out a bit, they say two word answers. I'm going to be silent the rest of the haircut.
So
they
aware, right. Chill.
You know, it's about reading people and understanding that maybe this person doesn't want small talk for 45 minutes.
Right.
Maybe this person just needs to talk for 45 minutes. You know?
Exactly.
And then providing what that person needs. That's what makes a good barber. It's not just a haircut. It's a service industry, people person. You're there to really comfort people.
Yeah.
You know, that's
I don't think a lot of people realize that either. You know?
No, it's not just a transactional thing. I mean, there are places it is, but that's not how our shop is. That's not how I've ever been. It's an exchange of energy, you know, the skin-to-skin touch. I mean, how many people in your world touch your head?
Not many, right?
I mean, and then you're like, I'm like, dude, tell your partner to massage your head in the shower, man, because it is nice. Like,
it is, right?
It's, you know, so it's a huge energy exchange to give somebody a head massage, you know, or a facial after in a shave. Like, it's just such an important thing. So
it really is. And I feel like we're in a time right now that men are starting to take such better care of themselves, their skin, their hair, you know, like this is the height of it. And
as they should, right? And that's what I tell all my dude clients that are like, you know, I usually will upgrade them from like, they start with a haircut. And then I'm like, hey, you should try beard trim, you know, haircut and beard trim. And then I'm like, hey, next time, let's do the haircut with the beard trim and the straight razor lineup. You'll get the hot towels, the facial massage, lean back, relax. I get them to try it once. They never go back, dude. They never go back because they don't treat themselves enough. You know, we've got females that are generally like they're doing their facials, their eyelashes, their nails, their Botox, their whatever it may be. They have all these things to make themselves feel good. And like men have really been shorted on that stick. You know what I mean? Like in the sense of they're almost, you're not masculine if you care about that. Like, no, fuck that. Like, give yourself a facial, like make yourself feel good. And once they try it, they're like, wow. It's just the self-care, taking that time for yourself.
Yep.
And they deserve it just as much as any other person. Every living creature deserves to be loved and cared for, which is also why I'm vegan. you know what I mean?
Of course.
Being out that energy and receiving it back. You know, that's I don't want harm on anybody or anything. And if I can make somebody have a better day, that's made my day, right?
Right. I mean, and that's in this day and age where, like, you know, everything is about social media and posting pictures.
Oh, God, it's such a love hate.
Isn't it crazy? But, I mean, I think it makes sense. It makes sense that they want to look good, you know, for you never know when, you know, someone's going to, like,
unrealistic expectations, of course. But, you know, I have a 14-year-old son, so I have been going through being a teenager again, and it's miserable.
So different. So different.
And it's like 10 times worse with the social media and just their expectations on themselves. It's literally, man, I mean, I'm almost 40. So I was born in 85. I was raised in the early 90s. I didn't have a cell phone until I graduated high school. There was no social media until a couple years later. You know what I mean?
Right.
So Man, I really wish I could have raised a child in that era. I would kill to go back.
I say that all the time. Like, yeah, they'll never understand how good it was because when we tell them, it's foreign to them.
You know, they can't fathom
a phone. Yeah, what do you mean? What's it? What's a cassette? You know, like stuff like that.
Right?
Like, oh my God, they were such. I mean, you just didn't really have a care in the world when you were out there playing with your friends. You know,
My mom would be like, you know, I rode my bike for 8 hours on a Saturday. Be home by dark. Be home by dinner.
Yeah.
No cell phone. No pager. Yeah. No nothing. Yeah. Just good luck.
Right.
But it was a different world then, you know,
Completely different.
Has changed so much. I've been here my whole life. You know, I actually was raised out in Banks, which is like on the way to the coast. It's about 45 minutes outside of Portland. I lived out there for about 8 years of my childhood. So lived on 40 acres in the country.
Ooh.
When we moved there, the population was 560. 560 people.
Oh my God.
You know, I was raised in a very different world than now. You know what I mean? And I moved to Portland when I was, you know, after high school. And I've been on like the southeast side for the last 20 years. And man, I used to leave my car unlocked, my doors unlocked, everything is a totally different world. I literally had to like chase a bum out of my car the other day, like just trying to, you know, break in. Like this is like a normal thing that it's like the houselessness is so sad and it's heartbreaking, you know, but it's also scary now. Like it's a fear that in Portland was never existent. So that's another transition too, is just like, you know, there's businesses on our streets that, you know, are constantly getting broken into. Like this fear, man, it's scary. And it's, you just want to go out and I just want to take every houseless person and I want to give you a haircut. You know what I mean? Come to the shop. Because,
again, that could be like a life-changing thing for them. You know?
Oh, exactly. And
but what I did notice when I was trolling your Instagram, you guys do a lot of charity things, don't you?
Like, we did before COVID. Right. I was planning on doing it again this summer. We've done one for LifeWorks Northwest, which was like a rehabilitation and recovery center that helped people like out of prison get into jobs and you know, safe housing, things like that. Did a fundraiser for them, and like we just did like a raffle. We have a really great courtyard. In the middle of our businesses. So there's like a bunch of businesses linked to this courtyard and we're able to use it for, you can play bands back there. It's I always call it the best break room in the city because we have a door that goes out the back and like, and when it's sunny out, we just leave the door open. We get to chill out there. But yeah, so we had a band play out there. And then we also did another one for the Pixie Project, which is like a local cat and dog animal shelter.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Obviously No Kill and a great organization. They do like a super in-depth background check for like all animals and whatnot. So they're just a really great organization in Portland. But we do want to do a kind of technical 5-year anniversary, which was in March technically, but in Portland, you can't do outdoor things in March.
Really?
It's raining. It's
crappy weather. Crappy weather.
Yeah, it's just crappy weather. I mean, so we'd like to celebrate in July or so, just so we can do a band back there. And like, there's a couple animal sanctuaries I was looking into. I would really like to do something for animals, but there's some other prospects too. So it's kind of like up to everyone else in the shop as well. I try to, you know, I have 6 other barbers there.
Yeah.
Try to involve everyone. I want everyone else to feel, you know, motivated and inspired, you know.
When you hire a barber, is there certain things that you look for or certain questions you ask to make sure you're getting someone that you know, vibes with the vibe that you've created?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's really the most important thing, right? I mean,
yeah.
I'll hire a barber with a good vibe that's like a mediocre cutter, you know, over like the best haircutter in the world with a shitty attitude. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I would in a second. So,
yeah.
And I always see people as a chance to growth. And a lot of people that I've hired, you know, like they haven't got to work in a space that they've actually been treated properly and paid properly, treated like a true, I hire all independent contractors. So they just pay me for chair rent.
Right.
You know, I provide a pretty good platform of like, you know, affordability and like what I provide in the shop for all their clients, the sure. retail, all that. So it's a pretty good setup for any barber.
That's nice.
But at the same time, I want to make sure they realize that and they're willing to put forth effort in improving themselves. And like what I tell all my barbers all the time is like, I still need to be inspired.
Like, yeah, always.
It isn't just my job to sit here and inspire all you all nonstop. Like,
right.
because you are independent, technically. I'm not, you're not on commission. I'm not making more money from you. You're your own boss. I'm here to like help you along the way.
Exactly.
But if you're not inspiring me too, like, I don't want you in my shop, you know?
Right. I get that 100% because when I was young, I was a little like, floundering on where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. And my mom had a restaurant that was in a plaza here in Florida. And there was like a real estate company and a bank. And there was a little barber shop that was tucked around the corner. And the owner, this adorable little queer woman, would come in every morning for coffee. And there was only one other stylist with her. They were just best friends. And they would get their coffee and their lunch. I'd see them all day long, all day long. And when my mom decided to sell, then I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And I went and got my nail license because I thought,
oh, nice.
No, I'll do nails. But I didn't want to jump into that atmosphere that you described perfectly when you said feminine, old lady atmosphere, cattiness and gossip. I didn't want to do that. So I told Paula that owned the barbershop and she was like, come and do your time here. Do men's manicures. Money, 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 money. And
that's awesome.
That's what I did for like a couple
of months. Badass.
It's like buffing and filing while they were getting
easy, literally the easiest ones too.
And I had the best time, you know.
That's an awesome idea, actually.
Just how you describe, like some guys just had their eyes closed, didn't want to talk, you know, whatever. And you did their thing and that was it. And then other guys were like super chatty talking about football games and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of, I made more friends locally that way. You know, than I did working at the restaurant when you're only looking up to take an order and making their food and looking up to take an order. This was a way to really like connect with people. And it was.
Well, you've got to think about it. Like you're sitting there for at least 45 minutes generally, right?
Right.
I mean, how many people in your life, you know, even your friends.
Yeah.
Do you see in a week where you just sit down and talk for 45 minutes? Stare each other in the face.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you're usually texting, calling the phone, it's FaceTime maybe, or
Feel a little bit impersonal, even though it's a personal conversation. It feels impersonal, but to have that connection where you're sitting face to face with someone and actually having a conversation,
you're kind of forced into it, right? Like both parties.
Yeah,
you're kind of forced to like really.
Exactly.
Yeah, I need the service.
It was so rewarding. Like it was one of my favorite times of my like, you know, formative. Like I think I was like 20, and I did it until I was about 22, 23, and it was just the absolute best. You know, like
news to say you don't do it again.
I know.
You can do whatever you want, you know?
Exactly. Then I got like, when I moved to England and everything, I was doing bartending at a pub and I'm like, this is cool too.
Bartending. I was a server all through like cosmetology school. Yeah. I went part-time and like worked. And so same thing. I was like, well, this is actually a really good skill to have, serving, cocktailing, bartending. I never did bartend, but I did cocktailing and serving. I mean, I was only 19 at the time, so I couldn't bartend. It kind of like paved the way for me to like break that ice with doing hair, because it's like going up to a table, you're just seeing stranger, and you have to be forced to be like, hey, how's it going? Like, converse with this person that you would never talk to in real life.
Right. You know, outside of work, never. Exactly.
Never talk to. And so I'm glad that I had done that because it helped me with my people skills kind of, and like
100%
learning how to read people. And like I said, you know, this guy's, you know, this person's coming in looking to complain.
Right.
What am I gonna do? Right. Like,
Right.
Before they even sit down, they're looking to complain. Like,
yeah.
How do you navigate that? How do you get a stranger that you've never met, don't know anything about them, to be happy with you?
Right.
To yeah, crack, you know what I mean? Like, it's such a crazy smile. Concept. Yeah. You know, like, if you sat next to somebody on a random bus and you were forced to make them happy somehow.
Right.
It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
it is.
It's a crazy skill, and people don't like think about it that way. And not everybody can do it.
And the funny thing is that as a customer, you become pretty aware whether your server is going to be a dick or not. You know what I mean? Right. So it's interesting to see, like, to have a bad server. You go, why are you in this industry?
Right. You're like, why?
Like, exactly. Yeah, go sit behind a desk where you have no human interaction and you're just like analyzing numbers or something, because you shouldn't be around people, you know? Yeah. So yeah, it is. It's from it both really is, perspectives. Yeah.
Well, in that type A, B personality, right? It's almost kind of split. Like, you know,
yeah,
it is like every human like is either kind of more on that side or more the work at home type. And yeah. I have my clientele is like, you know, both, but like, I'd say the majority of them might even be work at home or like go in the office a couple days a week type of thing.
And right. Like, right. Yeah.
You know, I have having a lot of those clients too. For me, I'm like, fuck no, dude. Like my ADHD is bad. Did I have to have like an environment that's busy and going? Like, it's almost like if I'm just at home, I get less done sitting there. You know what I mean? So for me personally, I have to be out talking to people, moving around. Like, it gets me going.
Right.
But my clients that work from home too, like, they're often their comments are, you know, well, you know, I only go into the office once a week, or I got this meeting once a month. I need to like, you know, I was like, fuck your meeting and fuck your office. Who are you waking up to every day?
Yeah.
Who's staring at yourself in the mirror? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
who gives a fuck what other people think? You cut your hair for yourself.
Yourself, you know? 100%. Like, yeah.
And why? And if you don't think about it that way, start thinking about it that way, you know, because there's nothing wrong with waking up and wanting to see or feel confident when you look in the mirror. That's like a gift.
Yeah. And if you think about it,
selfish about that, like, we've taught that that's like vanity, and like, no, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, why not feel good about yourself?
But I think what happens is most people are conditioned to look a certain way for someone else.
Oh, I 100% agree.
So to get them to think, do this for you, do this for you, make yourself happy. That's what I think makes you guys so unique, because you're putting that first, you know.
Yeah.
You're not telling someone, oh, if you're going for this job, I highly recommend you do your hair this way, or, you know what I mean? Yeah. I remember when JD told me, sent me the Instagram thing and said, check this out. Like, I've contacted, you know, we're going to get the owner on here. And I was like, oh, you know, like, oh, perfect. And I started scrolling. I was just like, you know what? This is exactly what people need to hear about. You know, feels like this is such a cool thing. Like, we need to let people know about this. So I'm so sad that she couldn't get into her email and make
it. I know, me too. Well, maybe we can do another one again.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm going to let you go get your day started. I know it's there early there for you. And I appreciate you so much taking time out of your day and telling us what you guys are all about. We'll go ahead and get this up soon, and we'll send you the link so that you can post them for your followers too.
I really appreciate it. And again, anytime that somebody takes notice of what we're doing, and like, that's like, so it means the world to me. It truly does. That's why I've done this. So I again, really appreciate you just reaching out, and thanks.
Definitely. When you get your fundraiser or, you know, your thing put together for July, maybe we'll do that so we can, you know, get you on ahead of time and get the word out about that.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kenz. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Yeah.
Take care, honey. Bye. Why do you always run
back to? It's like, never stop chasing your dreams.
And never say never.
See?
My addiction. And I confess my addiction. My the shameful kind of sadness. Why do you always run back to the lover you once knew? You're addicted to her touch, that's true. And I confess, my addiction is you. You are my drug, my every waking need. I've got you in my blood. You've got me on my knees. Why do you always run back to the love you once knew? You're addicted to her touch, that's true.